Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Podjack covers the Memphis basketball program for the Daily Memphis. He joins us every single Friday. And it is still, you know, very much the season because they have to field a roster. Penny Hardaway has to field a roster for next year. I want to start because they're going to be busy this weekend. They have some players coming in.
Yes.
But I want to start with something else, which is the bigger picture about NIL. I wrote a piece yesterday over at the Daily Memphian about the NIL situation with Memphis basketball and just how much revenue sharing has potentially changed this. You saw the tweet from Travis Branham that there are at least 8 schools that are going to have NIL budgets of $10 million.
$10 million is insane.
And then Goodman came over the top and said it's going to be closer to 15. So 15 schools in the country with $10 million budgets now thanks to RevShare. What is your understanding of Memphis basketball's NIL situation with RevShare and how it compares to what they did last year?
Yeah, I think, and obviously this kind of builds upon your reporting in that column that you put out yesterday, but just from conversations I've had, it seems like there are certain individuals, maybe it's not everybody, but certain folks at least within the Memphis Athletic Department that feel like because revenue sharing is going to be a thing, as long as this thing passes, you know, by July 1st or whatever, the House versus NCAA settlement, that there should be less of an emphasis, or certainly a dwindled emphasis, on the collective and the work that Bluff City Collective and other collectives are doing to raise money for the basketball program. But, you know, John, you and I talked about it kind of off air, that if you're Memphis, if you're not a part of the elite, if you're not a part of that Power Four that's getting that $20.5 million, and right now we don't know, right? We don't know what AAC schools are going to get.
It ain't going to be $20.5
million. It ain't going to be $20.5 million, exactly. It's probably going to be considerably
less. What was the minimum they set? Like $3 million or something?
Per year.
Ten for three,
I think.
Yeah, it was $3 million.
That's pitiful.
Yeah.
That's pitiful.
Because it's 10 over 3.
Right. 10 over 3.
The point being, if you're part of the have-nots, right, which Memphis is part of the have-nots in this equation.
Oh, yeah, currently.
Then you should be putting even more of an emphasis on your collective to bridge that gap so you can be on a level playing field with some of those schools. Maybe you don't get to that 10 million mark, but maybe you get to the 7, 8,
yeah,
you know, that neighborhood.
Yeah.
But to look at this any differently and to see or to think that the collective's work is any less meaningful or less important because of this new era of college athletics would be short-sighted.
Well, so like just again, I don't, you know, this is all sort of in some ways speculative, in other ways not. But if Memphis had just maintained its NIL budget of last year, which I believe you and I both believe to be around $4.5 million.
$4.5 to $5.5 million, somewhere in that range.
Okay, $5.5 million would be on the higher end from what I heard. But let's just split the middle and call it $5 million if you like. So if we say it was $5 million a year ago,
mm-hmm,
rev share starts. We're going to do some back of envelope math. Let's say Memphis comes in at half of $20.5 million.
Okay.
Let's say that they are going to devote
10.25, right?
Whatever. Right. Let's say they're going to devote, like other schools are doing, 20%-ish, you know, to basketball.
Uh-huh.
All right. So that would put us at about $2 million in rev share, maybe a little more, give or take. So that would take
us. We can
us
even round up, and it's still not going to check out. The math ain't going math still.
But it would still be a budget of about $7 to $7.5 million, which is not 10, but it's very competitive. It's
absolutely
very competitive nationally.
Yeah.
You would still be among, I think, the top
25. Top 25?
Yeah. I don't know if it'd be top 25, but point is like you could get meetings with the big time players and you could make some decisions and could probably maybe even keep a PJ Haggerty. But,
and maybe a Dane Dange, a long shot there with the case we know, but maybe.
But I think, as you and I both know, that is not how they're operating over there with basketball this year.
At least not right now.
Yeah.
That's not, you know, like I said, based on the conversations I've had, and it seems like based on the ones you've had,
yeah,
obviously
I've heard it's
as well.
Less. They're getting less, you know.
Which is crazy, right?
Yeah. I think it's crazy.
And it's crazy even more so, and you guys talked about it on the air yesterday, because of we're coming off the heels of, you know, Penny Hardaway's best season, right? Finally, he doesn't get you over that hump of the Sweet 16, but he gets you over the hump of doing things that hadn't been done around here in over a decade, right? Which is getting a top six seed in the NCAA tournament, which is winning a regular season conference title. He won another conference tournament title. He produced a consensus All-American for the first time since 2008 when Chris Douglas Roberts, you know, earned that honor. So to end all these droughts and to finally see kind of this vision that Penny put out there when he took the job in 2018 come to fruition, but to then pump the brakes on the resources you're giving the guy, that makes no sense to me.
I hate that. I'm sure Memphis would have some rationalization for it. They'd have some justification, but like you're not going 10-3 against quad ones anymore. I mean, you're just not. You're going to get outgunned.
Not with the numbers that
that
they're playing with right now. No,
yeah,
absolutely not.
You know, and maybe they're fine with just saying, hey, we'll be the top spinner in the AAC, we'll win our conference, and that's enough for us. But I think even that's going to be, you know, difficult to do because, again, your access to the player pool is going to be significantly different.
What's also crazy is, and I'm sure, you know, y'all have heard the same thing, that Memphis is not easing up by any means in terms of its aggression to schedule in the non-conference, right? They're still gunning. They can't afford to. So they're still gunning for the most marquee matchups. Last year, they were fourth in non-con strength of schedule per KenPom. Yeah. They're trying to be in that neighborhood again, that top 10, top 15 at least neighborhood, in order to make up ground for the league they play in, quite frankly. Well, if you're making up ground for the league you play in with your scheduling, but your resources don't allow you to even, you know, like you said, compete to that level to even be 10-3, to be 9-4, whatever it may be, then what's the point, right? What's the point of shooting for the stars in terms of scheduling? You're kind of hurting yourself more than you are helping yourself in that case.
What's the, and I'm with you, that you have to keep the non-conference schedule jacked up to offset the lack of opportunities in your conference. And so what do you think, what are you doing? Who are they talking to? Do we think, I mean, who are some of the possibilities? Because you have to replace Clemson in Virginia?
Yeah, we could just start with the games they have, right? So that'd be
Ole Miss, Mississippi State.
Ole Miss, Mississippi State on the road. Second half of home-and-home series that they started last year. UNLV in San Francisco.
UNLV's coming here.
Coming to Memphis, coming to FedEx Forum, which is also the second half of a home-and-home. So that's four games right there. I know they're looking to get into an MTE again over the Thanksgiving-ish calendar mark sometime in November.
Which ones are left? Good grief.
There's a few that haven't been announced yet.
Okay. Because most of them think, I mean, why are they not in the players era? Get in the players era. That's where all the big time schools are going.
Well, that's what I kind of.
Is that the Vegas one?
Yes.
That's the NIL
Did
Vegas
you
one.
See the Bahamas thing? Like,
oh, it's
how
a, it's
bad
a joke.
It is?
Dude, nobody's playing
the best team in that Battle for Atlantis field is Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
That's disgusting. Well, St. Mary's or Vanderbilt, whichever one, but that's still a joke, right? Like, those are your headliners.
Nobody
on,
wants
man.
To play in Maui because they don't make money. Nobody wants to play in Battle for Atlantis because they don't make money. You make money in the players era.
Vegas.
You know, so
everybody's trying to get.
Yeah, bro. Like they're expanding the field. Like Memphis has to get in the players' era. If
it's
going to
be 32, not this season, but next season, right?
If you can't be one of the 32s, like I don't even know what to tell you. Mm. I mean, you better be.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, like I mean, because that's just the wave now. It's the new Maui, and because you can make I don't remember what the numbers were in NIL.
It was something massive. I don't remember either.
It was like $500,000 in NIL or something.
Correct.
Like that.
Yeah.
You know, and
divvied
that number's going to go up when they have 32 teams.
Uh huh.
You got to find a way to get in that. That needs to be their only priority for 2026 is making sure they get in that field.
Penny's talking about any chance to get Louisville or in Arkansas.
Yeah, so Louisville. It's funny. Penny had mentioned it for I think as long as I've been
a
on
while,
this beat.
Right? Yeah,
right?
A couple
Penny's
of years,
mentioned
he's won.
Penny's mentioned Louisville. Penny's mentioned Arkansas. And when Cal was at Kentucky, Penny had mentioned Kentucky very openly
right.
from the time I've been on this beat in 2022, if not even further back than that. But last offseason, you saw Louisville kind of echo the same sentiment. I'm blanking on the assistant coach's name, but there was an assistant coach over there that went on some local radio show or podcast and was talking about that discussions had already been in the works. This is, I don't know, last June of 2024, to starting a home-and-home series with Memphis that would begin this season. So we haven't heard anything on that front yet, but that could be in the works. Penny's mentioned openly Duke. You know, that'd be yeah, huge, right? You get Duke on the freaking schedule. So, yeah, they've got four games. I believe it's four. UNLV, San Francisco, Mississippi State, and Ole Miss in there now. Locked There's 13 now. Spots to yep. fill. So that's nine more to go. You get an MTE, that'll be two or three games right there. And then, like we said, we're mentioning some of the biggest brands in college basketball with Louisville and Duke and others. So it's going to be if things go as planned, as to their plan, it's going to be another brutal non-conference slate. And like we're talking about right now, you would just hope that they have the horses to line up, you know,
right.
in those games.
Speaking of horses, busy weekend. So far, just one guy committed with Division I experience. I know they're bringing in
Felipe Patino.
Felipe Patino.
Daniel Vieira Tuck, DVT.
DVT. Yes, you know, they're hoping to get back Dante Harris, right?
Is he? Correct.
Okay, so.
He hasn't publicly announced anything yet.
Right.
Dante Harris, PJ Haggerty, obviously, and then Buna Kibe, who yeah. is a junior college transfer, of course.
Let's start with PJ Haggerty.
Sure.
Because he is the horse. What is your understanding of the latest with him?
Yeah, it sounds like people on the Memphis side are fully expecting him to go through at least the draft process, which, I mean, he'd be silly not to, right, to not get that feedback. Of course, he's not on any mocks that I've seen in terms of first-round grades or anything like that, but, you know, it doesn't hurt to go through that process, get your evaluation, and then come back to college and work on those things in particular to be in that mix next season. So I think Memphis expects him to do that. But something to look out for in particular is that transfer portal deadline, right, which is coming up. I believe it's the – top of my head, I think it's the 22nd of April, we're less than 2 weeks out now from that mark. He hasn't entered the portal yet, right? Like, that hasn't been reported, it hasn't been surfaced, nothing like that. But I think if that date passes, obviously, and you don't hear PJ Haggerty, or you don't see PJ Haggerty in the transfer portal, you got to feel pretty good about your chances if you're Memphis to get him back.
Expecting to hear, you know, what I think he's going to hear from the NBA, that look at your size, you're going to have to be able to play on ball and show us that, not just direct the team, but not turn the ball over. I'm just saying, if the NBA tells him we want to see more of you at point guard, and he comes back to college, and Penny Hardaway is a point guard, and we know he can go to point guard you and everything. My point on this question is, in terms of what you're seeking, do you expect, and again, this is going to be a guess, but hopefully an edge game, do you expect them, looking at the guys that they're looking at, to have a Tyrese Hunter type that's also going to split time on the ball? Or are you expecting an adjustment to PJ being more on it and I'm putting shooters around him now?
Yeah, from everything I had heard at the beginning of the offseason, at least, it was the first one, right? Like, they saw how well that worked with having a kind of a true point guard next to PJ mm-hmm. Haggerty to alleviate some of that load. That doesn't mean PJ Haggerty can't initiate the offense or that he can't be the point guard. But you're seeing this across the board in college sports or college basketball now for years, right? Like, these two point guard systems that are so effective come March.
Right.
Having two guys who can kind of run the show for you. So that's what I had heard at the beginning of the offseason. But some of these names that have surfaced, you've seen more, obviously, more wings and,
yep.
You know, more kind of spot up shooters than anything else right now.
Yep.
And, you know, if I'm being completely honest, I'm not sure if that's because Memphis is being priced out of the elite guards or if Memphis has just struck out.
Yeah.
I know they had made calls to, you know, Jacoby Gillespie, who obviously transferred from Maryland to Tennessee.
Any idea what he got?
It's something massive. It was reported. I think it was Norlander that put it out there earlier this week. I want to say it was pushing three, if not three. I'll have to go back and look. But
I mean, it makes sense. He was a Power 5 starter on a Sweet 16.
Big bag. It was a big bag.
Retain PJ too.
Duke Miles, though, from Oklahoma, you know, the Oklahoma transfer who committed to Virginia, he just decommitted. Maybe like an hour ago.
Yeah, I saw that.
So I don't know. Memphis was definitely in the mix there, trying to schedule a visit. So maybe that does come to fruition in terms of at least getting the guy on campus. But we'll see.
Yeah, these numbers are crazy. They really are. I mean, when it makes more sense for you to go back to school than it does to go to the NBA draft and be a first round pick, you know, these numbers have just gone out of whack.
Penny the GM?
They need to hire a GM.
Well, they were going to last year. Remember, they were going to hire Tony Harvey.
And it ended up not happening. And I guess it fell through for whatever reason. I'm not sure why it fell through.
But they were going to.
They could use it. I mean, that's what.
And they should have, because you know
when you have to get this many.
He had important connections around the university, but
You need a fundraiser, right? Like, and I don't think that's the head coach's responsibility. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that's Penny Hardaway's responsibility.
It is, but Penny doesn't want to do that.
You think it is, though? Like, you think that's on him to go out there and rah-rah and...
Ultimately, yes.
And pass around that bucket?
Day-to-day, no. But yeah, ultimately, yes.
I think he should be tasked with coaching the basketball team, right?
Well, there's no coaching right now.
Sure, fine.
So, I mean, do I think that the coach needs to show his face at those types of things? And yes, be the big voice, of course. Do I think he needs to do it during the season?
Of course not. That'd be crazy.
But, I mean, ultimately, this is part of the job now. I mean, all these guys are doing it. You got to take those calls. You got to ask. Everybody's doing it, bro.
I mean, no, and I think it's tough. And like you said, it more and more we see, I guess, coaches are being tasked to do it, but not everybody's a Will Wade, right? Not everybody's that kind of personality where they're going out and comfortable in that role. Obviously, Penny may have to become more comfortable in that space, but it would be nice to get some assistance or to get somebody in there in that GM role to kind of show him the blueprint on how to do those things.
Yeah. Is it my picked up Stansbury?
No, he was trying to get the UNLV job.
Ah, so he wouldn't take an assistant job right now because he's trying to get a head coaching job.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's no head job for him to get right now, really. So
once UNLV,
he's still in Memphis, is he not?
I'm imagining so.
Who's that?
There'd be no Stansbury. He'd still be here.
Memphis?
There'd be
no reason to have moved yet.
I have no idea. I haven't checked in. I don't know. Taylor Jenkins is still here. I know that. Only because you told me he was at the donut shop.
That's what Jeff said.
What, Gibson's?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
It was at Gibson's.
But yeah.
Telling this story.
I don't know. I do not know. So yeah, it's an interesting time, man. Over at the University of Memphis. And so who do you think would be, if you had to sort of say, like, who's the next one to pop for the Tigers?
Yeah. So this weekend, obviously, I've confirmed that Julius Thedford, who is a Memphis native, Western Kentucky, transfer point guard. We're talking about point guard, right? That's a point guard. Is going to be on campus, as well as Zachary Davis, you know, the wing from South Carolina, the defensive minded. Wing, if you will, from the Gamecocks, landed in town late last night. His visit has started today. It's going to continue till tomorrow. So those two could be likely candidates. Chris Bell, I know they were optimistic about getting that thing done.
Yeah.
But once again, this thing, you know, recruiting's fluid. We've heard that statement. Yes. It's like a truly Donovan line, right?
Yeah.
But it's never been more true than it is right now, right?
Yeah, multiple guys have, like, committed and then signed elsewhere.
In the span of 12 hours,
yeah,
guys have done that.
Totally.
It's just insane. So even when you hear from a side that, oh, we're optimistic or we feel good, you just don't know, right?
Yep.
But Chris Bell, I think you even referenced him in your column or either that or on the radio. You know, Seton Hall kind of got in the mix. They've got a lot of money. We know that. So I think it's going to be a matter of, you know, what Memphis can get done both in the financial regard and what role, right, that the two sides can agree on with that kind of player.
Is there any road where what PJ's asking is too high and you're better served to spend the money, you know, spread it out, I guess. You know, spend it more efficiently. You know what I'm saying?
I hear
you. You see what I'm saying? Rather than give it all to him and then you've literally got a bunch of role guys that aren't going to, you know, add up to a good team. Is there a point where moving off of him is the greater good?
Man, that'd be so hard to stomach, would it not?
I mean, like, it's a second team AP All-American. They don't grow on trees. Yeah, I realize what I'm asking, but with the price now getting so high, and if it's going to eat up so much of your budget, do you not get to a simple math question at some point? If he stays, you know, between I'm staying on $4 million. You know, is there not in a road where you have to, maybe it's like Tennessee with Nico, where you say, we can't do this because of what we got.
And I think if things, some of this is speculation, some of this is conversations and everything else that I've had, but if things stay where they are now in terms of resources, if they stay like kind of status quo, then Memphis may not have a choice, right?
Right.
But to say, hey, this is what we can do for you. You know, I mean, sorry.
I think that's where they are.
That would really, really suck. Let's make that clear.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately,
from everything y'all are saying about what's going on with NIL and what's going to be there by the time it's go time.
I mean,
it's like it's sucking up a big part of your budget.
Absolutely right. So, anyway, it's a again, this is the world we live in now. So the sandbox we play in.
Tough choices.
And I mean, some of those guys, I think, you know, could be good players. It's just, you know, it's going to be a lot more of a crapshoot when you're bringing them up from a lower level, as we know, you know, as opposed to, you know, a guy like PJ Haggerty, we knew, like, on some level would be, if it's in the league.
For sure.
He wasn't going to be quite that. He ended up exceeding it. But Tyrese Hunter is a great example.
proven production.
When these guys take steps down, it usually always works. Dane Danger, we knew he was a backup, but we knew he would come in and dominate.
Because of how limited his role was in those spots, right? At Illinois and elsewhere.
You know, this class is a little more like a leap of faith, like you're just kind of hoping certain
guys.
Well,
there is no class right now, right?
Well, there is no class, you're right. But I'm just saying, like, Thedford is like a...
Well, the problem.
You've watched the film, I'm sure.
He's got a weird game. You know, he shot well.
He's tough. He's gritty. He can shoot the ball well. He's from Memphis.
But it's like, Western Kentucky, though.
He cares about.
It's tough, man. I remember.
Bring the hometown kids back, man.
I'm fine with that. It's just
such a dangerous game to be hoping for PJ, and then if you don't get him, you missed out on so many of the higher level ones you could have gotten.
Because you're
busy going after, because you're
holding that
money, you're in
that
holding pattern.
Yeah, no doubt.
So dangerous.
It's tough.
Yeah, exactly right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.